Greetings, friends, and hello, and welcome to another program of Search the Scriptures, where we give you our guaranteed pledge that you will only get the truth of Scripture here, and we are here to debunk the falsehood of organized religion and many of the false practices that they brought to the world. And I am here in the very nation of Israel, the very promised land of our Heavenly Father. We are doing this program from Israel and bringing it to you, trying to, at least in part, fulfill the law coming forth from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, Micah 4 and verse 2. So, in our last program, we were talking about the importance of the nation of Israel in the end time. And I was showing in Matthew, the 24th chapter, that the Bible tells us, when we're looking at the end time, that we have to watch the fig tree. And we went to Jeremiah 24 and clearly showed Israel was the fig tree. We talked about the importance of Israel being a nation again, because Psalm 102 went through the Holocaust and all the different things, and that when Zion was rebuilt, then the Messiah would appear. So Jerusalem had to be a sovereign nation again before the Messiah could come. I want to continue with the importance of the land of Israel today, because there's so many things I want to share with you from Scripture, from stories. And like I said, we're taping this in the very promised land of Israel. We're a congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. My name is Don Esposito. Our website is www.coyhwh.com. And me and my wife have been living here for roughly around 10 years or so. And we bring pilgrim tours. We host the feast here, and I'm telling you, if you come to the nation of Israel, it will absolutely change your life. It's like reading the Bible in a black and white book, and then all of a sudden it becomes color. It's like reading a flat, you know, just a normal book, and then it becomes a pop-up book. Coming to Israel, and you get off the airplane, and you go 10 minutes, you know, maybe 15 minutes from the airport, and you're in the very valley where David fought Goliath. Then you're maybe 40 minutes from the airport and you're in Jerusalem. And you're on the Mount of Olives, the very mount where the Messiah returns to. And you can see where he died, where he was buried, where he was resurrected. You know. And you can travel throughout the land within a matter of a few hours. You could actually go from the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, where they actually have sulfur balls that you can still retrieve that will rain down from the Heavenly Father in heaven. Within a couple hours, you can be up near the Sea of Galilee, the very water that our Savior Yeshua walked on. I'm telling you, you come here, I'm a Hebraic roots teacher, it will change your life. You will never, ever read the Bible the same way again. Because right now you're coming from a Western mindset and a Western perspective, and by coming here it just makes it so real and so alive. And that's why the Father had to have Israel being a nation again in the end time. You know, when Mark Twain came to the nation of Israel in the late 1800s, he couldn't imagine that this was the promised land. It was barren. It was like most of the Middle East today. If you go to Jordan, if you go to Egypt, if you go to Saudi Arabia, it's 90 to 95% desert. And that's the way Israel was before they became a nation again in 1948. It was a barren land. Do you know, per capita, there was more malaria here in Israel than anywhere on earth at that time? There was no cultivation. There was nothing, not even trees. It was just like a barren wilderness from all the years of their captivity. And then something changed. We look at these scriptures. Let me read here Ezekiel 36. I'll read Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 8. It says, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall put out your branches and your fruit. You shall bear for my people Israel, for they are drawing near to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be built. And I will multiply men on you, and beasts, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will make you dwell as you formerly were. And I will do better than your beginnings, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yea, I will cause men to walk in you, my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you will be an inheritance to them, and will not any more increase their bereavement." So we see that, like I said, I gave in the last program. If you're hearing this program, you didn't hear the last one, you could go to our website, www.coyhwh.com. Go in the radio section, and you can see part one of the importance of the land of Israel in the end time. And you will see that not only did the Father prophesy that if Israel was disobedient, we went in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, the chapter of blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience, but he actually gave the very time of how many years Israel would be in captivity. Five times here, it says seven times, seven times, seven times, seven times. And if you take a prophetic year, 360 times seven, you come out with 2,520. Numbers 14:34 talks about in prophecy many times, a day for a year, a day for a year. So 2,520 years, Israel would cease from being a sovereign nation. They fully went into captivity in 572 B.C. If you add 2,520 to 572 B.C., not A.D., but B.C., so you have to add 2,000 and then 572, you come up with the year 1948. 1948, exactly the year Israel was to be a nation again. We went over Psalm 102, where it said that when Zion is rebuilt, the Messiah will return, and this is written for the last generation. Wow, wow. Israel had to be a sovereign nation again. The Father is setting up because His kingdom is coming to this earth, in the very land that I'm giving this radio broadcast from, the land of Israel, and there'll be a 1,000-year millennial rule of our Messiah, and then world without end from that point. So it's not the end of the world. It's the very beginning of the kingdom of Yahweh, a kingdom without end. It's the end of Satan's world. So if you love Satan's world and you love all the perversion and evil things of this world, all I can say is you better repent because this world is coming to an end very shortly. But let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, and we'll read a little bit more about this. Isaiah 35. And verse 1 says, "The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice for them, and the desert shall exult and bloom like the crocus." Drop down to verse 6. "Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall break out in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall become springs of water, and the home of jackals in its lair, and the place for the reed and the rush." Well, people used to think, oh, this is just poetic, right? You know, water's breaking out in the desert, mirage becoming pools. Yet you know what happened maybe 10, 20 years ago? All of a sudden, in the land of Israel, as you go down and you travel down in the south of the country through the desert going down toward Eilat, artesian wells underground started bursting and water was coming out. And now you could actually drive through the desert and see beautiful green grass, palm trees, cultivated land. Exactly like the scripture says. So what Mark Twain saw in the late 1800s, he would be amazed today as you come to Israel. When you see all the agriculture, the trees, they've planted more than 350 million trees have been planted in the land of Israel just since 1948. Can you imagine? You see a very, very different place. A very different place. We go back to Ezekiel 36. Back to Ezekiel 36 and verse 33. Look what it says about this very land we're in the end time. I'll start in verse 34. Ezekiel 36 and verse 34. "And the desolated land shall be cultivated, rather than being a ruin in the eyes of all those passing by. And they shall say, this land that was desolated has become like the Garden of Eden. And the wasted and desolated and razed cities are fortified and inhabited. And the nations left all around shall know that I, Yahweh, built the raised places and planted that which was desolated. I, Yahweh, have spoken and I will do it." Wow. Do you realize that you are living in the time, one of the most awesome times in the world, to see prophecy fulfilled? You know, if you're a believer in Scripture and a believer in the Messiah of Israel, you've probably thought at one time in your life, oh, I wish I was around, you know, when the parting of the Red Sea, right? You had to see that with your eyes when the Red Sea was parted. Or maybe, you know, when our Savior Yeshua walked the earth, you say, well, I wish, I mean, I do, I wish One day I could have been there, the Sermon on the Mount, to sat at his feet and listen to his teachings. But do you know, when you look in Scripture and you look at these important times in history, and those times were extremely important in history, the time we're living in now is so important. You know, the book of Luke says kings and prophets would have loved to see what we're seeing. And they didn't. Because we're seeing it now from the end of the book. We're seeing the whole perspective. There's no reason for us to be deceived anymore. And yet, Revelation 12:9 says Satan has deceived the whole world. And why is that? Because the churches of this world, they've replaced Israel with the church. They've replaced Jerusalem here in Israel with heaven. And they've replaced the Torah with grace, with lawlessness. And replacement theology has literally blinded the masses in the world today. How, do you really think, could it be a coincidence that after 2,520 years, exactly the time the Bible said that Israel could be a nation again? Of course not. Of course not. There's no way that could be a coincidence. And the Father made Israel nation again because it's all part of prophecy. It's all part of prophecy. You know, he says in the book of Zechariah, he who touches Judah touches the apple of his eye. And like I say, it, just even from a physical standpoint, you would think if there's one nation in the world today where people should be supporting, it should be the nation of Israel. So many different things have happened in this land. You know, Isaiah 61, turn there 4 and 5. Isaiah 61, in verse 4 and 5. It says, "And they shall build old ruins, they shall raise up former desolations, and they shall restore the waste cities, ruins of generations and generations. And foreigners shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers." Isn't it really interesting? They will build old ruins and will raise up former desolations. Archaeology, which is one of the biggest fields here in the very land of Israel today, is only about 130, 140 years old. And yet, there are 22,000 ancient archaeological sites here in the land of Israel. You can go there. You can go to Hazor, the very place where Joshua burned down the city of Hazor, and you could actually, they found the level of the city that was completely burned. You know, you could go to the Mount of Olives. You can go to the city of David, and I will raise the tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And you could find the palace of David that they've rebuilt. You could find the coronation stone where Solomon was coronated king and where King Messiah will be coronated when he returns. All these things that are still there today. Unbelievable things that have been found through archaeology. And if you come here, I'm a Hebraic roots teacher. If you want to come on a pilgrimage, we do it several times a year. And we bring you to these places and we show you the proof. You know, Father Abraham, what does it say? Galatians 3:29. If you're in Messiah, then you were seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. What was the promise to Abraham? The very land of Israel, the very land where I'm sitting here today. And we can go to Beersheba and you could see the well that Father Abraham dug with his whole own hands. And the interesting part is the word well and the word oath, it's a play on words. They're very, very similar. And it's the oath of the well, the covenant that was started there by digging that well is still there today. Unbelievable, here in the land of Israel. So many amazing things were prophesied for this land. Let's go to the book of Zechariah, because it's a little book here in Scripture, but all about end time prophecy. End time prophecy. Zechariah 1. In verse 12, "And the messenger of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, until when will you not have pity on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you have cursed these 70 years? And Yahweh answered the messenger who was talking with me with good words, words of comfort. So the messenger was talking to me, he said to me, cry out, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And with great anger I am angered at the haughty nations, and that I was but a little angry, and they gave help for evil. So Yahweh says this, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassions. My house shall be built in it, says Yahweh of hosts, and a line shall be stretched over Jerusalem. Cry out again, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, my city shall again overflow with goodness, and Yahweh will yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem." Wow. Here we are. Jerusalem is the only city on earth that Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, has put his name there. And that is the creator's name. His name is Yahweh. We have several radio programs on that. You can go to the website, www.coyhwh.com, and you could listen to the importance of the creator's name. But here it is. He says he is dwelling in Jerusalem, and his house will be built again in Jerusalem. And yet what happens? Zechariah 2, in verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come and I will dwell among you, says Yahweh. And many nations shall be joined to Yahweh in that day, and they shall be my people, and I will dwell among you. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. And Yahweh shall possess Judah, his portion, in the Holy Land. And he shall again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before Yahweh, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Jerusalem, in Matthew 5, verse 35, says it's the city of the great king. It's the set-apart city of our Savior. And that is the reason why the spiritual battle is going on for Jerusalem. Can you imagine, with all the problems in the world today, why on earth would this one little city, what does Jerusalem produce? Is it producing oil for the world? Does it have gold hidden somewhere? Why that one little city of rock, of stone, would be so important for world peace? Because, never forget, it is a spiritual battle we're dealing with. And it has nothing to do with anything else but the battle of Yahweh for his holy city to Satan wanting to usurp it. Very, very clear. Look at Zechariah 12. Go over a few chapters there. Zechariah 12. In verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the people around it, and it shall also be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all people. All who lift it will be cut in pieces, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. I was shocked last week when I saw, after the Gaza blockade and what happened, and that the Israeli commandos were attacked by mercenary terrorists upon one of the boats that was going to Gaza, and several of them got killed, that around the world, even in America, to Europe, to Asia, to everywhere, Africa, you saw all these demonstrations of hate against the nation of Israel. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all people. All who lift it shall be cut into pieces, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Why? You have to think to yourself. Why on earth is Jerusalem so important to all these people? When there's 100 wars going on in the earth, all kinds of civil wars, all kinds of things that are not right, why would everyone be so focused on Israel and particularly Jerusalem when there's absolutely no asset that's there? There's no oil, there's no gold, there's nothing. And yet, it's because it was prophesied. Because this is a spiritual battle in the end time between Yahweh and Satan, and you better know what side you're choosing on. Remember Genesis 12:3, when Yahweh said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Never, ever, ever go against the nation of Israel that Yahweh has chosen. Because Yahweh is with these people. Yahweh is with them. Look at verse 6 of Zechariah 12. In that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire among cut grain. And they shall devour all the people around on the right and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her place in Jerusalem. Wow! After 2,520 years, and there they are! Jerusalem in the 67 war once again is in her place in Jerusalem. And by miracles of Yahweh. And look at this! This tiny little nation of Israel, just a few million people, is the fourth, not largest, but fourth most powerful army in the world. Can you imagine? Just like it says, in that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a hearth of fire among wood. Never in the history of ancient Israel were they ever as strong and powerful as they are today. This is prophecy being fulfilled. And our Heavenly Father's blessing to them. You know, in 1948, when Israel wasn't even a nation again, and when the United Nations Security Council decided that they would vote for Israel to be a nation, immediately all the Arab or the Muslim countries of the world immediately declared war. And here, with just a few thousand soldiers, without even much weaponry, how on earth can they defeat more than half a billion Muslims, more than 500 million Muslims that came against them? Only by the miracle of Yahweh. There are stories of soldiers during the 67 war near the western wall over there, the southern wall. And what happened? There were Arabs coming. They were out of their ammunition. There was about six of them. And there were thousands of Arabs. They're coming down. They're ready to shoot them. And all of a sudden, the Arabs look up and they start screaming in terror and fear. And they say, "Abraham, Abraham!" And they run in the other direction because there was a giant angel there with a sword put out and fire coming from his sword. These are the kind of stories that we see that have happened during that time. There was another story where there was a group of soldiers up near the Golan Heights in the north. And the Golan Heights, which is a beautiful land, we actually lived up there for a time. It's filled with landmines, though, from Syria. Syria put over 5 million landmines there, so that if Israel took the land, it can never be used. And there was a group of brigade of soldiers that were stuck there in the middle of these landmines, and they didn't know what to do. They couldn't get out. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, it was a clear night, and a wind started coming from nowhere and blowing for about 15 minutes. They had to hold on to trees not to blow away. And within that 15 minutes, what happened was 18 inches of topsoil was completely blown off the whole area so that every single landmine was exposed. And every soldier walked out, not being hurt whatsoever. These are true stories that happen to show our Heavenly Father's hand with His nation Israel in the end time. There's another story when they were down in Egypt, and all of a sudden, the Israeli army, they see coming up from Sinai, they see one soldier, one Israeli soldier, with several thousand Egyptian troops. Wondering what on earth is going on. So they start debriefing the troops there, and or the Egyptian troops. And they say, "This doesn't make sense. There's only one Israeli soldier, and there's several thousand of you. Why didn't you just hit him over the head and take his gun?" And the Egyptian soldier said, "We didn't fear that soldier, and we didn't fear his gun. But when we saw those angels around him with swords, we were not going to fight against the Almighty." True story. True story. Many of these stories are documented in every single war that has happened. Every single war that's happened. Even just a little while ago, about 2 years ago or less, when the police action happened in Gaza, you know, the cast lead. The Hamas fighters had went into all the houses and they booby-trapped the houses with bombs so that when the Israeli soldiers would come in, the bombs would blow up and they would die. And all of a sudden, you know, very, very few of any soldiers died in that operation. Yet 3,000 of the terrorists were killed. And later, the story came out, I heard it firsthand from one of the soldiers, that there was a woman dressed like ancient Israel. And she was walking up to the soldiers, and she said her name was Mother Raquel, Mother Rachel. And she was telling him, "Don't go in that house, it's booby-trapped. Don't go in this house, it's booby-trapped. Nobody knows where she came from, and nobody knows where she went when it was over. But clearly, she was a messenger sent from Yahweh to warn the people so that none of them died in the booby-trapped houses." Through story after story after story, you know, even during the Yom Kippur War, a war that Israel nearly lost, and Golda Meir, she called President Nixon in the middle of the night and told him, she said, "Mr. President, we need help. We need help, and we need it now." And Nixon told the story, Richard Nixon, President of the United States. He said, when he was a child, his mother told him, "Richard, the day is going to come where you are going to be in a position to save the Jewish people in that nation. Don't fail. This could be your whole purpose for life." And he thought about that when Golda Meir called him in the middle of the night. And Nixon airlifted a whole brigade of everything, tanks, weaponry, you name it. overnight airlifted it to Israel, the biggest airlift, they said, since World War II. And Israel turned it around, and they wound up winning the war. So we see in modern times, the Father has been with His nation. He has been with His nation, and He has been with His people. And they are there. Let's go to Amos, the 9th chapter. We will see why this is, because it was prophesied that when Israel becomes a nation again, they will never again be completely taken off their land. Amos 9 and verse 9, it says, "For behold, I will command, and I will shake the house of Israel among the nations as one shakes with a sieve, yet not a grain shall fall to the ground." Verse 11, "In that day I will raise up the Sukkah of David that has fallen, and I will wall up his breaks, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old." Very, very clearly that the prophecy was to bring the people back to the land of Israel. "And I will bring back," verse 14, "and I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and live in them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be pulled up out of their land, which I have given to them," says Yahweh your Elohim. Very interesting. Do you know that in Judaism, the religion of Judaism, every week they do what's called a Torah reading? They read one scripture in the Torah and one scripture in the prophets. And they don't pick it every week. This is set up beforehand. This is thousands of years old from the rabbis. So on any given week, you already know what you're going to read that week. It's not something that's just made up. When Israel became a nation in 1948, the very first Sabbath that they were in the land, this was the scripture, Amos 9 and verse 14. "I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they will build the cities. And I will plant them on their land, and they will never be pulled up again." That was the very scripture that was read the very first week they were back in this land. My friends, is it the Father's will that Israel is a nation again? You better believe it, absolutely. And if you want to be in the good graces with our Heavenly Father, I would suggest that you support the nation of Israel and what He's doing in the end time. We will have another program on this next time, and we will talk more about some hidden prophecies about this nation. And what's going to happen here, and what we need to do in the days ahead to watch and see for the return of our Messiah. So again, we are Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. My name is Don Esposito. I'm giving you this broadcast from Israel itself, from the very nation of Israel. And you can go to our website, www.coyhwh.com. Until next time, friends, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you. May His countenance lift you up, and may His peace be upon you. Shalom.